Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans proudly supports the Adam Carolla Show. So when you're choosing a mortgage lender, work with someone you can trust. Rocket Mortgage. They are transparent and they have an online process that gives you confidence to make an informed decision. Don't waste time searching through stacks of paperwork. Securely share your financial info for a mortgage and get approval in just minutes. It's Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to be sure you get the mortgage solution that's right for you. So whether you're looking to buy a home or refinance your existing mortgage, skip the bank, skip the waiting, do it completely online at quickenloans.com/Adam. That's quickenloans.com/Adam. Dawson.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Jay Chandrasekhar. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and a visit from Vinny Tortorich. And now, chances that Kalen misspelled Chandrasekhar on the bio card, 98%. Chances that even if he did, that Adam would notice, 0%. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on, got to get on, no choice but to get on, man, get it on. Thanks for tuning in, thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Once you got balls on your chin, that's it.
Vinny Tortorich here, this homespun wisdom. I was thinking about you the other day, Vinny. For some reason, I was looking up stuff. It always comes in when we do the food from Zanku Chicken, because then you want to know about hummus and chickpeas, sure, and all this kind of stuff.
Tabbouleh. Yeah.
And I was looking down, was it the glycemic index?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I saw rice, and rice was really high. Just white rice was really high. And then under it was Uncle Ben's converted rice, and it was low.
And I thought, how much lower was it?
It seemed to be one was like in the 80s or 90s, and one was like in the 40s or 50s. Like it dropped down. I don't know what I was looking at. I just typed in whatever glycemic index. And
answer for that, Vinny.
I can't. Everyone eat Uncle Ben's converted crap.
Wow. Maybe a sponsor tomorrow.
Yeah. Like a live read.
I still never knew what that stuff was, although I'd see commercials for it time when I was a guy. So now Gina's looking because Gina's interested.
Very.
Because I love this.
This could be the key to everything.
There's probably something.
Well, converted rice is kind of like when you take coffee and make instant coffee, right? They freeze dry. They make the coffee and then freeze dry that, and then you're rehashing crap.
I don't know what converted rice is. Maybe it found Jesus Christ. I don't know. It's a weird Christ. It's a weird name. In business, you don't say used cars. You say previously owned.
Yeah. Certified previously owned.
And it makes it sound better than
they
used.
Started that
and
with so converted the Mercedes
doesn't sound. Yeah, but converted doesn't sound that good. Mm. So I'm not.
What's it converted from and what's it converted to?
Well, it started as rice.
Gina's going to try to figure this one out.
You're right. It says the glycemic index is 38 out of 100, which is
unconverted
pretty
rice.
Damn good. Yeah.
Right. And what's the white rice? The regular white was like in the 80s or something.
Okay, so converted 38, basmati 58, and white rice 98.
Okay,
so now how do you get from 98 to 38 in the conversion? Maybe that's what they converted.
Here's my second question, and Gary might have to look this up.
By the way,
I want to know what the
glycemic
load is, Gary.
Oh, let me just...
Sounds dirty.
I got pink eye from that one.
I got an answer for you.
Oh, it's here's. I just want to say in advance, it's not going to be good. Because my first impulse was, ooh, I can eat rice again. Yeah. Now comes the answer.
I did not get the email from you. Usually I get the email. You went rogue on me.
I didn't go buy any, but I just thought, if this stuff is a third or less than half of what white rice
yeah,
is.
Yeah, but that could be a lie. Where's the load, Gina? Do we know yet?
Well, that's none of your business. But mm-hmm. what I have here for converted rice, it says white rice prepared from brown rice that has been soaked, steamed under pressure, and then dried and milled. Does that help
Yeah,
at all?
So they cook it, and then they powder it and
Are they spinning the sugar out of it somehow?
No. It's just still in there. It's okay. Still rice. It's still a starch. Trust me, this is not going to work out well.
I know. It never does. It never does. It can't. And he's talking about life in general. Vinny, I don't have your piece of paper in front of me, I don't think. So,
Vinny Tortorich on Twitter, Fitness Confidential. What else do you need?
Lots of good, happy tweets about people down, just tons and tons of weight.
Ever since this show, since I started coming on here, some of them are 100, 110, 150 pounds. It's amazing.
Well, I don't know how long it's been for us, but it's been a year probably.
Oh, over a year now.
And by the way, your man, Howie Mandel, is coming up next week on my show, Adam Carolla and Friends Build Stuff Live.
Whoa.
Your man.
Have you ever seen Howie touch a power tool?
We had a funny discussion.
He doesn't touch most things.
We just had a prep meeting before this, and you get this one, and it's right up there with the Uncle Ben's rice. Oh, almost a third of the glycemic load of the blah blah blah. Somebody popped up and said, like, oh yeah, Howie wanted to be a carpenter, like he was a carpenter, and I went,
Howie Mandel,
the guy with the giant purse with a glove on his head, and they're like, yeah, and I was like, okay, something's wrong, and then we went because no comedian can do anything.
Well, Howie,
they can barely do comedy, but beyond comedy. But, you know, Howie, but he did build a house across the street from my old house in Malibu.
He didn't build that house.
Yeah, no, I know that. I know that.
And here's the thing about Howie. He's not like a normal comedian. He was a salesman. He sold carpet with his dad when he was a kid.
Right.
And so he's a guy that, if you told me he could swing a hammer, I might believe it, but I'm not really buying it.
Well, couple things. He's very much into developing real estate.
Oh, yeah.
He buys, like, land outside of Nevada and for putting strip malls and stuff like this. A quiet...
commercial? Because I was going to say, you have to have a baseline knowledge of not carpentry, but just of handiness? Because if you're flipping houses or whatever, properties, you have to kind of be like, oh, this goes there and that goes there.
Brian,
let's
he's
fix
not
this
flipping
up.
Houses. He's flipping
hotels. But I'm sure
hotels.
He started somewhere.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, Howie, when before the show
the front,
came...
Penthouse upstairs.
Deal or no deal?
Right.
He thought about just getting out of show business and just doing real estate. Mm. He was done with show business.
Wow.
He's got, like, you know, major property up in the hills,
yeah.
you know, and commercial stuff and whatever. And yeah, he must have learned something along the way. We're going to find
know.
Out. You know? Well, why wouldn't he, Vinny? If I was saying this about you.
There's one Jewish carpenter that ever lived.
But Happy Easter.
No, I know. It's like it's one of these things. It's such a...
If you asked me to build something, if you said Vinny was coming on build something with Adam, I would show up because I could swing a hammer.
Oh.
I'm not asking to be on the show.
No, here's what I'm saying in life, just in general. The stereotypes, so hard to get past, right?
For a reason.
I know, it's because we're right all the time.
Stereotypes are earned generally. They don't come out of whole cloth.
I was like...
Let's be honest.
I mean, there was this guy who did the YouTube killing or whatever.
Yeah,
I just heard about it on the radio. I didn't watch it. I'm not going to watch it, whatever it is.
Definitely not a Jew.
But I was like, oh, this is a white guy move. Like, his name is Steve Stevenson or something. Like, oh, this is a...
Guitarist for Billy Idol?
Yeah. This is it?
Yeah.
This is a white... This is not a brother... Like, so I was just listening. It's a guy named Steve, shot an old guy, and he filmed it. And I was like, all right, well, Whitey gone bad again.
Gone rogue.
And I just couldn't wrap my mind around it. And then later on, they showed a picture of the guy and whatever. And then I couldn't. This is probably a horrible example of, but do we all do this?
Yeah,
of course. You
like,
do the math.
Like, I mean, you hear, you know, a guy films himself shooting an elderly guy and puts it on Facebook. You go, okay, that's a white guy. You hear gangbanger, drive-by, whatever. You think something else. But so Jews, comedy, carpentry, and you just go, no. Like, even if you go, I that's what I did, or I flip houses, or I've developed a ton of real estate, or whatever it is, you just go, you still just say no.
I'm going to just text him right now and see if he's ever done it. But
do it.
But he's done so many things in his life.
That's, right.
Like, he's if he said, yeah, let's go build something, I would believe he could do it because he's not the normal guy.
Right.
And I know people think because he's germ-phobic and everything that, oh, he can't touch anything dirty. He doesn't mind getting dirty. He just doesn't want to shake your hand. He's got a hand thing.
And let's not forget Canadian. And Canadian is the ultimate wild card in all stereotypes.
Mm-hmm. He could love beer for all we know.
Oh, yeah. Like
the Canadian thing.
Natasha Henstridge, hottest blonde on the planet. She's totally cool. And they're like, why are you so hot? And she's like, I'm Canadian. They're like, they made you grow up normally over there. Like, here.
So you're putting her in the same category with Howie Mandel?
I'm saying.
I just lost my erection in 1 second.
When there is, you got to check under the car seat whenever you lose your erection. That's where mine always is. You realize pretty quickly when something doesn't add up, there's a Canadian component.
Angle.
And that'll help.
If what Vinny is saying about Howie is true, which were before Deal or No Deal hit, Howie was kind of considering coming out of the business and going into real estate full time. I'm even more on board that Howie must know things about, again, not construction, but, you know, have a sense about those things. So if you're going to make that a lifestyle, then you've got to have a baseline of knowledge, right?
Well, speaking of baseline, he's a door-to-door carpet salesman?
No, he did it in a shop where people would show up, and he would literally roll himself in the carpet and talk to people when they came in. He wasn't
like
the best carpet salesman in the world.
Sounds like the best one.
Yeah. I also heard
Brie Larson's rolling him up.
I heard he was colorblind as well. So
probably.
Maybe not the
He's
greatest.
Got some issues.
But, you know, so Howie, you know, famously, we were backstage at the whatever club. What is that honky-tonk we're at right now?
Oh, the Borderline.
Borderline.
Yeah.
Borderline, yeah.
That's it.
And Vinny, tell me if this sounds like Howie to you. He goes to the barbecue joint across from the Borderline in the same mall.
Oh, yeah. We all go there. It's the only one in the area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can give it a shout out.
I can't think of the name of it right now.
Yeah. All right.
I just passed it last night.
Is there a barrel of popcorn or something when you leave that place? Because he had a bucket of popcorn.
Yeah. He loves popcorn. He loves
He was
carbs.
Carrying around a... He was carrying around a what looks like a fancy
he
shirt.
He probably
Wood Ranch.
Went somewhere in Wood Ranch. He went somewhere in that Wizen. It's called the Wizen Center.
Mm-hmm.
He went somewhere in there and got popcorn,
a shoebox of popcorn.
And he's walking around. And he came back to our show, and he's upstairs in the green room, and he's offering everybody a hit off of the popcorn. And everyone's just reaching in. And if you really think, you know, it's this kind of thing where we have a definition of like. You know, like, we're all over the road. Like, you drop a peanut on the floor, you reach down, pick it up, and pop it in your mouth, and everyone will go, ooh. Next thing you know, my dog, Phil, will literally mount, it's not completely sexual, but he will mount any human being he comes in contact with. If you're sitting there, so we're at the other shop, we're all sitting around, we're all talking about, the next episode with Howie Mandel, and here comes Phil. Phil, to every adult who's sitting there, gets up on top of them, puts his huge paws on their lap, and then just starts licking their face. That's his move. And they just take it. You know what I mean? Like, they just sort of lean back
no
and
choice.
Go like, yeah. There's not a lot of choice. But people are sort of cool with that. But if you dropped a peanut and picked it up, they'd wince.
Yeah.
And the popcorn thing... is into the hand, then into the mouth, and then back into the bucket, and then into the mouth. It's constantly back and forth through this oral route here. And it's a hell of a lot further along than shaking hands is, or any of the other things you think. But again, like, dogs don't care. Peanuts on the ground do care.
Yeah.
Handshake,
you're right.
Do care. Popcorn, don't care. Howie Mandel's passing around the popcorn to everybody, and everyone's taking a hit off it, and he's taking a hit off it.
And he's fine with it.
Utterly and completely fine. And
right.
I said, Howie, this is insanely inconsistent. You won't shake anyone's hand. You've offered five strangers popcorn.
Let
You're
me
eating
tell
the
you
same
what
thing.
He said.
Can yeah, I yes,
right,
go ahead.
He said, you don't get it. I'm crazy.
That's what he said.
Word for word.
That's what he said.
Yeah, I've been around the guy. Because people used to say to me, when you train him, if you hand him a dumbbell... And first off, it's like, I've never had, it's like, well, have you ever touched him? Did he freak out? It's like, no, you can touch him, you know, but you can't, he doesn't want to feel the inside of your hand on his hand.
I'm just looking. Yeah.
I wonder what it was like to court a lady. No hand holding.
I asked him, I said, did you ever have oral sex with your wife? And he said, yes. I asked him that on my podcast.
Amazing.
So to the whole world, he goes, yeah, I said, well, how many more germs can you get than that? Not that Terry is more germy than it. He goes, because I'm crazy.
Yeah.
And he wants the world to understand that crazy is not a bad thing. You know, as Howie would put it, this is way too much Howie talk, but he said, if you had a broken leg, you would go to a doctor and a doctor would straighten your leg up, put a cast on it, and nobody would judge you. They would go, oh my God, you broke your leg. What are you, skiing or whatever? If you're crazy, it's a stigma. And he's always trying to take the stigma out of crazy. He doesn't want to be crazy. He just says, that's who I am. And I want the world to know that it's okay to be who you are. Just get help for it.
Is he on medication? I should ask him all this
stuff. He'll tell you. Beyond my scope.
On the next episode of Adam McCool and Friends Build
Stuff. I still haven't heard back from him on whether he can do carpentry or not.
Maybe he's slinging some stucco right now, and he's up on some scaffolding, and he can't get to it. Justin, 26, Seattle.
Hey, Spam crew, get it on.
Going on, man.
Love you guys. Appreciate everything you guys do.
Sure. Thanks for listening.
Hey. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I was wondering, I love getting my news from all the comedic shows like Bill Maher, John Oliver, but it seems like everything is pretty much left-leaning. I was wondering if you had any good news sources, comedy shows that you, you know, because I'd like to get from both ends of the perspective. Got any ideas for that?
That would be interesting if there was somebody on the right who was funny or who wanted to do a news story from that angle. I'm sure you could find stuff on the internet, but I don't know that there's anything.
Greg Gutfeld's listening to this and grinding his teeth into a powder right now.
Yeah.
Steaming him out of his ears.
Greg Gutfeld, yeah. And Red Eye and Gutfeld. And
I will say that Bill Maher himself is very left-leaning, but he does a good job, I think, of his show representing lots of points of view. Like, you're going to hear a lot of different points of view on that show. Whereas on The Daily Show, you're going to hear one point of view. And it's going to be funny, but, you know, it's going to be one note.
Well, I think, I'm trying to think, because I watch Bill pretty regularly, and I think, a lot of times, I think conservative folk don't want to just go get gangbanged. Like, they'll get they'll get the crap kicked out for extended periods of time. It's probably about a 75-25, but it's still good. I mean, he himself offers different opinions just within his own skull, which I like. Never seems right when someone just picks a direction and never deviates from that. But there's Gutfeld. There you go. What do you think of that, Justin?
All right, appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. I'm trying to think. I mean, we were doing the stereotype, but we're doing the Jewish non-carpenter, but the Jewish comedian, and then we're trying to find funny and conservative leaning, and they don't really live.
I think if
they're
out there, we'd know their names.
Maybe what he should do is watch Samantha Bee, and then Bill Maher will seem more conservative.
Oh, Samantha. Yeah.
Was she pretty far?
Like a feminist left-leaning Daily Show.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, you haven't?
You're familiar with her, though, right?
Yeah.
You've definitely seen it.
Was it on?
She was on Daily Show. She was a correspondent. TBS, yeah.
Oh, TBS.
One of those.
As far as the stereotype thing goes, but I swear this is true. Now, you get to be Vinny Tortorich, and if I was Vinny Carolla, there wouldn't be any questions. But I got Adam, and that opens the door to what is he? But the entire construction career, no one ever thought I was Jewish. Ever. Because I'm in Canoga Park, and we're on a roof, and we're stripping it. You know, it's like nobody goes, you've read the Torah, right? Like, you've left a seat open for Elijah or something.
You're like, here on a high holiday?
Yeah. Like,
how about that heat?
Yeah. No. Never. But then as soon as I got into comedy, it's like, well, you're Jewish. You get it, Adam. You're Jew.
Well,
you write jokes.
Dark skin,
like,
and you,
what I'm saying is it's a perfect test, because Adam can go Jew or otherwise. Carolla's Italian, but you screw it up with the atom, the hair can go either direction, the eyebrows and the attitude.
Nasally wine.
It all go million different directions. So it's a I'm perfect because you put me on a construction site and it's Italian or it's whatever, but it's not a Jew, and then you go into a writer's room.
The obsession
and then
with goulash is giving some more Hungarian food.
You become a Jew.
Yeah.
So that's a stereotype. Okay, let's see. Modern prefab homes. Oh, let's get Howie in on this line of questioning. Hey, Chad, 41, Redwood City.
Hey, Ace Man, how are you?
What's going on, man?
Hey, I'm an investor down here, up here in Silicon Valley. I've made an offer on a property up in Sonoma, and I'm wanting to put a modern prefab home on it. I just wanted to get your take. Are they worth it? Are they cheap? I mean, you know, you're dropping a check for about $500,000-$600,000. Is it worth the hassle? Are they good homes? Give me your take.
I looked into this a little bit because I had some land up around the Puget Sound on Anacortes Island. It's called up north there, and
Washington?
Yeah, I was looking into this. I love the idea. The idea that a lumber truck just backs up and dumps a bunch of wood onto a vacant lot, and then a bunch of guys just start banging it together is several thousand years old. Like, I mean, it was a donkey, but I mean, it's just wood, and you're just banging it together. And what always drives me nuts is when I'm walking Philly cheesesteak through the neighborhood and there's always that couple of houses that are under construction and you'll do the move where you'll walk the route and go, it's been 2 months. Let's see how they're doing with the house. And you'll see that it got shear walled. It got covered with the OSB or half inch ply or whatever's on the outside. It's got the plywood on the outside, but it's rained a few times and you see where the nails are and it's kind of dripping down. Like you can see where it's rusting a little bit. And then also it looks like it's been in that same state for a couple of months now. Yeah. They haven't wrapped it up or stuccoed it or closed it up. And then you see the wood's turning a little weird color. And like I said, the plywood or the oriented strand board is really not supposed to get moist or wet, but it's been through a couple of rainstorms now. And they're going to just go ahead and close that up. And I don't know if there's going to be mildew inside there, but
it seems unethical.
It just seems like a weird way to build.
Yeah.
Well, first off, it's so old. Like, I mean, it's just, you know, the electronics in the house and all the modern, you know, amenities and the, you know, the kitchen and the appliances and everything. But the house itself is just like 2x4s, you know, sitting on a slab.
It's kind of antiquated.
Well, it really is. Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't want them building your car that way. Like, you like the idea of this clean, big shop, you know, big.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So I like the idea, Chad, of the whole prefab done in the big warehouse. Like, stuff is clean, stuff is done.
Could be the drawback, or what is the reason not to do it?
Well, before you answer that, let me just make sure I can follow you here. It's literally a ready-made house that is dropped off on your land.
It is done.
It's
modular and it's done in like panels and you could probably pick from, and again, I just built custom houses, so I didn't have a lot of experience with this, but you choose X, this model, that model. Mm-hmm. Well, first off, everything gets less expensive as you can like I've always said, look, if you can find them at IKEA, go get it.
Right.
Because it's always going to be cheaper at IKEA. I don't care how big a break I give you on building your kitchen cabinets, it's still going to be cheaper.
Prefab is always.
Yeah. For everything. There's nothing in life that is not cheaper if they don't make several hundred thousand units of it versus the one-off stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm all for it. I like it. The only thing is, I think it's sort of snobbery and sort of super high-end stuff. Like, you want bespoke. You want to know that this entry hall's not like any other entry hall.
Can I say this? In Louisiana, where you have hurricanes every year, they're coming in. They're coming off the Gulf. People with, we call the center match, but tongue and groove roofs and all that, with all the infrastructure, your roof is going to be on your house no matter what comes through. Yet, you'll see houses that they use plywood on the roof, and they're ripped up and torn off. And my dad would always go, yep, plywood roof, look at that, you know. So I'm sure there's situations where if you live in a war zone of weather, you would not want that, right?
the old school building.
Yeah, you want the old school. And
the hurricane's tearing through Sonoma.
Nothing's going through your neighborhood. You might get fog twice a year, but
I like the prefab stuff, and a lot of and I would liken it to this. When I used to go to the Home Depot back in the day, and or the IKEA back in the day when I was building, you guys forget. Like, you go down the plumbing aisle of Home Depot, it was pretty much just a bunch of cheap junk that was made for like, it was made for like people who are superintendent of bad apartments and needed to replace bad, cheap fixtures, you know, for $19. Now you go down the aisle and it's a lot of high-end stuff. I mean, it looks good. It doesn't have to be the most expensive stuff, but you used to have to go to independent high-end plumbing places and go to the fixture place. Now it's not the top of the top end, but there's some high to middle whatever, and you can find it there, and you can find the cabinets there, and you can find the countertops there, and you can find everything. Lighting fixtures. They just have bad porch lights and bad, you know, apartment lights, you know. Yeah, now they have nice units, nice things. It's a good time to be a homeowner, because in the past, you just go through there if you own an apartment that you didn't live in. Now you can get
give me 12 of these.
Mm-hmm. You can get nice stuff there. So, and I say the same with the prefab stuff. I think it's a good time we're living in, Chad. I'd go for it. How much is that? How much is that a square? How much is that stuff a square foot approximately?
It's down about $275 a square foot for about a 2,200 square foot property. About $275, $300. And that's fully installed with a slab.
Wow. Yeah. And also, you know, the stuff that's done on site, and believe me, I've done enough of it, wood is, first off, if you take your average 12-foot 2x6 and you just hold it up like you're sighting it, like it's a gun barrel, and you're looking down it, you're going to see it bend.
Sure.
And you're going to see weird knot holes, and you're going to feel little pockets of moisture and stuff like that. Like, it's not... it's not the greatest. You'd be much better off using metal, putting it on a jig, making sure everything is completely as, you know, as you want. I mean, you do stuff, you know, you build a house on the site, you're just basically stick framing it. You're leaning stuff up and hoping that it's kind of square and, you know, doing the best you can, but it's not, it's what it is.
Are the, sorry, I really don't know much about this. Yes. Are these all like aluminum siding houses? Are there wood in these houses?
No, yeah, you can put whatever you want on them. And again, I'm not an expert in the prefab houses, but I like the idea of everything done in sort of a sterile environment and a moisture controlled environment. Things done to a to an exacting specification that you don't have when you're just sort of out in the wild. And then the house, when it's all put together and it gets put together really quickly, it's not let out. It's not hanging out in the environment, getting insects and mildew and moisture and whatever else. I like it. All right. So I'm down with it. And
good luck, Chad. We'll see you in Sonoma.
I've been talking about building this vacation house. I can't get anyone in my family interested in this vacation house.
Why?
Perhaps it's something.
Yeah.
But
well, your house is kind of a vacation house.
I did
for the kids.
It is, yeah. We're in the pool all day, I say. But usually, I can go to Natalia and sort of get a little fire going underneath her. I said to her, "Do you want to build this house in up in Oregon?" And she goes, "No." I said, "Oh, you like Lynette and Sonny? Forget it." But Natalia, normally
the one,
I can count
the
on
one vote I thought I had.
But do they not get what it's like there? She could go whitewater, you know, kayaking when she gets old enough. She's that type of girl, right?
She's a zip line in her backyard.
That's what I'm talking about.
No,
by the
now.
Way, did you put the zip line back after you put the pool in?
No, we had, but this, the, initially this conversation was had a year ago on the way home from her friend Cammie's house, who does have a house up there.
Oh. So she knows what it's like.
We'd been whitewater rafting the day before.
There's rock climbing up there.
It's everything.
Yeah, it's
everything. So she said, No.
She can go with Cammie.
And
if
I said,
she wants to
go. I said, why not? Like, what's this? First off, what is going on? What is going on that the guy goes, listen, I'm going to pay for everything. I got land up there, but I'm busy. Like, I'm not going to just do it myself. Like, you know, go online, find houses, and then we'll just go throw one up. And where you're getting the, all right, old man, you're blocking the TV set. Like, if someone, if my dad had said to me, look, I got one boot and half a frisbee. I would have went like, oh my God, where are you hiding them? Give them. I'm just getting shooed away when I'm talking about building a vacation house in the Puget Sound.
Yeah. Wow.
And Natalia, again, Sonny and Sonny, Phil, Lynette, it's kind of catch as catch can of you know, what we're into, what we're not in. But Natalia is kind of whirling dervish over there, and I can usually get her whipped up about stuff. But she just went, nah, not into it. And I said, why not? Why isn't anybody into this? And she said, oh, I'm not into it because it wouldn't make Tammy's place special.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, all right. Well, at least we're on planet Earth together. Yeah. That's good.
I'll get down with that reason.
But Adam, yes. if it means anything, if you want to build that house, I would be more than happy to go there with you.
I think they'll go if it's
it's all buttoned up with a ribbon on it.
Yeah. It's just the idea of doing it doesn't sound appetizing to anybody but me. But I was thinking, I wouldn't be there on site, obviously. Right. You'd have to quit your job for a year. And prefab would be a much better way to go from a distance.
It's kind of someone oversee it, I'd assume.
Yeah, yeah. But you sort of, it's kind of turnkey in that I think you can figure out everything you want from all the surfaces to the tiles to the fixtures and all that kind of stuff and just, you'll know what you get. And also, it's a lot easier to put a timeline to.
Also true.
If you do the prefab mode. I still may do that.
Yeah. This is like a fun project. There's nothing more fun to me than planning a vacation. I can plan it 3 years out. If I could plan a house.
He's trying to plan a vacation house for his kids.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Pick the faucets.
All right. All right, where was I? Ah, blinds galore. Oh, when you do get that modular house
put that
done.
On the list.
Blinds galore. They're having a Shades of Green sale only about a week away. Get up to 45% off of everything. Don't waste any time. Order your free samples today so you'll be ready when the sale starts. That is on Thursday, the 20th. So that's coming right on up. Oh, that's up. Oh, it's coming. A couple days. Yeah. 15 free samples to be exact. You get 15 free samples free. Plus, free shipping, and their team of in-house professionals will help you every single step of the way. So they've covered over 2 million windows, family-owned and run. We use them. I got them at the house. I got them here. I got them everywhere, edit bay, office, literally every dwelling, and even my dream dwelling up in the Puget Sound will someday have blinds galore. So custom-built blinds and shades. Unbelievable prices, designer look without the designer tag. It's blinds galore. Dawson.
Let blinds galore help you get the custom blinds and shades you've always wanted in your home. Don't forget to check them out during their Shades of Green sale starting April 20th, where you can get up to 45% off everything.
All right. Let's see. Duh.
Adam, I have an update on the rice. If you want. I've looked up the load and I can't substantiate any of it, but everyone's saying that the load is also half of what the load would be on regular. And basically, what I've learned
What's
is...
What's the load? Define the load.
Okay.
Load versus index.
All right. So let's say you ate a Snickers bar, something high in sugar. You're going to get a glycogen spike. Your glycogen is going to spike and go right down.
Mm-hmm.
Bad. A load is if you have a plate of pasta or something where it's going to... spike is going to go up and it's going to stay there for a long time. So your body has to keep releasing insulin over, your brain has to keep releasing insulin over and over and over to try to cover that. Right. So a load
is
worse.
So is it better to have, so it
neither is good.
Right. But better to have the spike than the spike with the load afterward.
I've often said that bread is way worse than candy.
Mm.
But folks, noted. Please don't say Vinny says I can eat candy.
Yeah. Right.
Wink, wink.
So now that's
Halloween
the
comes
load.
Around, giving out bread,
and the Easter jelly beans.
So but, you know, we think of bread as whole grain, healthy. Oh my God! Oh my. No, but bread is worse. Pasta is worse than if you had a Snickers bar.
But neither
is good.
For that one reaction, let's say, or for that reaction, but. Right. Is that possible over the course of a year? Like, if you just said a client,
right.
And you really have to hate this person, but you said, look, you can either eat the Snickers bar or the pasta for the year. Just that'll be breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 1 year. Would each?
No, you're not going to give me an answer to that because they're both horrible. I mean, they're
that's
both
a real modern situation.
All of us just think pasta, right?
Right, but you know, because for years it was hammered into our brains. Oh, it's grains yes. are healthy, and no, it all causes a spike. And once you get that spike, the pasta will keep it there. That becomes the load.
So you might go Snickers bar over pasta for this.
Yes, for you. For yes.
Me. All right.
Yes.
So now. What is the conversion with this rice that is so helpful
actually,
to us?
Actually, it's pre-boiled. That's exactly what I said. They're cooking it ahead of time and they're freeze-drying it, and then you're just adding water to it and puffing it to life, kind of like a K-ration.
Why is that still half?
That I don't know. I'm going to have to look into it and bring it to you next time because everything I'm looking at, I can't substantiate it. I need to talk to some people
all right.
to figure out why.
But well, as people are hearing this, they will tweet us the
oh,
answer.
Everyone. Yeah, I'm going to have this on
please
Twitter.
Please not all of us. Please not all of
but
us.
But if it holds, if it does hold, then you'd say
no,
eat that rice instead of the
no,
other rice?
Even if it's half.
It's processed.
That would be like saying, okay, look, if you're doing heroin, if you're doing a lot of heroin, that's really
no,
bad. But if you did half
like
the heroin,
saying, no,
you're
if you're
still
saying,
getting the load. You see, that's what people don't understand. Even
we
though,
said the load was half.
Right. But what is in you? What your liver's
but
not going to
wait a second.
A minute.
Wait
I
a
got
second.
Pre-boiled
if the
rice.
Load, yeah, but I'm living in a world where I do eat white rice. Right, right.
From what
white
I found
rice.
So far, they're right. looking at calories to kcals. So I can't substantiate it yet. I need
okay.
to go and study it. So I can't sit here and argue
right.
it.
But if the first number, the glycemic index, is in the 30s,
apparently it's lower than
versus 90s, and the load
this
is in
is amazing.
Half, if the load, no, I'm just trying to, I'm trying to figure out whether you're confused or I'm confused. If the load is half and the first number's in the 30s and you got a choice,
yeah.
you got to go with this.
I would think so. You want to go with something in the 30s over something in the 90s, but.
Right.
But
it's
like
better.
Vinny, I don't
it's
trust,
better.
I don't trust why it's in the 30s.
We'll
We're
wait.
Having a ball.
We'll wait and see. Huel. All right. Well, no, here's what I'm saying, and I do this.
To number
I, do this
one, everyone?
I do this in life all the time where people go, don't do either one. And I'm just saying,
but,
this is better
yeah,
than the other
it's a
one.
Number.
And now we're going to try to figure out why, because now
yeah,
it's confusing.
I'll get to it next year. I need to figure out where this is.
I got you. Let me talk
me.
To, speaking of eating, rich man, poor man, Janet, 32.
Hello. Yes. Yes, exotic parts of animals.
That's a really good one.
Eating exotic parts of animals?
Give us an example,
yeah.
please, Janet.
So, poor man, like chitlins, pig shoulder,
wow.
chicken
wow.
feet,
mm-hmm.
pork rinds.
Yeah.
She went right there.
Yeah.
And then rich man, frog legs, filet mignon, haggis,
marrow.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. That's yeah. an exotic fringe of both.
Why are you poo-pooing?
Filet mignon and haggis?
No, not filet mignon.
Okay.
No.
Like
and haggis is kind of weird.
And organ
but,
meat.
But you're saying,
pate.
Yeah, like stuffed goose liver and
okay.
stuff like that.
That's
like
a good
they're
one.
Living on the weird fringe of yeah. of the food. But
I think
yeah,
there's
not,
a calf's brain thing that is like a kind of you know highfalutin.
Not filet mignon though. But I we're
you're
looking for we're
Janet.
Looking for exotic.
You're
yeah, I like that. I think Janet, this has probably come up before in the 9 years we've been doing rich man, poor man. But I like it.
Yeah, I figured.
That's all right. No, it doesn't look, doesn't mean, it means it's valid. You're fine.
Okay.
All right, sweetie.
So then the other proposal I had was tiny house, which you guys are just talking about tiny houses or building a house somewhere.
Very hipster right now.
Yeah, it's very popular now. It's more apropos.
Converted train cars.
Yeah, I had a
Airstreams.
Brother-in-law that did shipping containers.
That's what I mean, yeah.
For a while.
Watching those shows, literally like Tiny House Hunters, gives me an incredible amount of anxiety. I don't know if I'm serious. I'm not joking. Like, I watch that show and I feel I could never live there. I don't want to visit there. I don't want to be in there. It makes me skin crawl.
My,
it's a weird thing.
My thing with that is I like to take a nap on occasion, and it's nearly impossible if you don't have the square footage,
okay.
if everyone's running around
this
in your
like a nap escape room
in your home. So right. I would claim the whole thing as a sort of nap domicile or something, but I don't this deal, like I get not wanting to be an ugly American, but this thing of like trying to live in 300 square feet doesn't feel
yeah,
appetizing to me.
Or even less. I mean, they're doing, it's like less than a tent. But the whole idea is you just sleep in there and you do everything else outside.
Well, what
it's
is
just
is
a
that,
hipster movement.
They even have the bubbles, like the bubble igloos.
Yeah, it's crazy what there is. It's like awesome. Yurts. They're doing tiny yurts.
I like
now.
The Treehouse show, though, because that.
Treehouse Masters?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
I love that guy.
Unique.
Hey, Janet.
Yep.
How many square feet? You're calling from New York, so you're probably tight, right? What do you got?
Yeah. I don't know, actually. I think it's about. It could fit maybe two. A basketball net, right? Or the height, so it's 10 feet by 10 feet, so 100 square feet.
You're getting in a cubic feet. Oh, is you're laying it down on the floor. Okay, yeah. Yeah. I talked to my friends who lived in the city, and they'll talk feet? About how small their apartments were, yeah. And it's absolutely insane.
That can't be right.
That's that.
Is it like the size of a big walk-in closet?
Pretty much.
Okay, holy moly.
What do you do from, you work in the business over there, Janet?
In the work in the business? You mean like
entertainment
Hollywood?
Business.
Oh,
yeah.
No. I was going to say no. No.
I've now realized right. You probably thought I was talking about pornography or prostitution or something like that. You're working, gal?
The oldest profession in the world.
I thought you meant finance for some reason. Oh. Finance.
In business.
Yeah. What do?
Computer programming.
Oh, okay. And
you finance yourself a better apartment.
Please tell me you don't work from home.
No, but I'm saving. Saving up for a tiny house.
Yeah, so you like that show?
No, actually, I like the show that has the exotic houses where they build houses out of like a World War II bunker or.
Oh yeah, they live in a missile silo or something like that.
or like a lighthouse or something. They just
no, that was. But Janet, one of my greatest laments was there was a house. I haven't told the story in a while, but now that we're picking a theme, there is, Gary, maybe you can even find a picture of it. It is up off of Mulholland. It's in like the Malibu Hills, and it's like an old Nike missile site, radar site. Okay. So up, if you go down to like Malibu and you go down to like PCH mm-hmm. and, you turn your back to the ocean and just look up in them there hills, was at the very top where Mulholland runs all the way around through there and right for whatever.
It's at Westridge and Mulholland Dirt Road. It's called the Nike Missile Site.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
That's exactly where it is.
Well, there.
They
Thank
redid
God.
The silo. That's the only place when I would train for my ultras, I would stop there because there was water.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, you know. So, okay. So, they took the top of a mountain. And they cut it off. And they just made like an acre flat on top. They gave it its own driveway. And there is a bunker that goes down. Have you been on the site?
Stuff? I've gone up in it. I haven't gone.
Oh, okay. You've gone up in the tower.
Just to look around.
Yeah. So good. Well, this is perfect. The bunker goes down in the earth about 8 or 10 feet. The walls are about 3 or 4 feet thick concrete, mm-hmm. and then it steps up out of the earth maybe about 10 feet. So you could imagine if you're in it, you'd have like an 18-foot ceiling or something, like a really high ceiling, and it's really thick. And it's just one big square and then a five-story steel tower next to it. Now, you can get like on the roof of the bunker and sort of go across and climb onto the tower, and the tower just has like a ladder going up through it. It kind of looks like a... one of those industrial-sized telephone wire cable carriers you'll see like along the freeway when the big ones, sure. You know. And you climb up, and when you get to the top, you can see downtown Los Angeles, and you're not even looking off into the distance. It's kind of really? Under you. It feels like it doesn't feel like it's far off. No. You get far off, and you can see like Irvine and stuff. You can see Palos Verdes and like San Diego. And I mean, when it's clear, you're looking at everything.
Is it public? Open to the public?
Yeah, you could go up there now. It's because it's closed. But to your point, Adam, on a clear day, you can see the side of the Hollywood sign because it's facing the other way. And you can also see planes on a very clear day going in and out of John Wayne.
That's insane.
It's insane.
It's very far away.
It is insane. And so... about 15 years ago, my realtor said, oh, this place is for sale. And I said, really? And I said, how much? And it was like $1 million. And I was like, There's $1 million worth of grading done to this. Like, they took the top of a mountain off. It's a flat acre. And then the view is unprecedented.
Surprisingly cheap. There must be a lot of restrictions on what you can do with the land.
Yeah, what the hell, Adam? Why'd you buy it?
I said,
reveal, as he did.
It's $1 million.
And I started Natalia put the kibosh on.
Cammy had a Nike missile silo.
Well,
it was competing with. I started thinking, so my mind started thinking about this bunker, and I was like, okay, that's the best base for a house ever. Like, it's the thickest. I can go up. I can build on top of the bunker. Yeah. It goes down. I'll take the tower. I'll put glass around it like a commercial building. I have like a commercial. Put my office at the top. Like, I was like,
like an evil Bond villain.
Yeah. Yeah, and I started thinking, like, you wouldn't move in there, but I mean, you could throw the greatest parties in the world. Like, it was
an event
space.
It's
the greatest thing ever. And I was like, I want this place. I'm getting this place. This is insane. Oh, what am I going to do to this place? And I kept saying, but I can remodel or build or inhabit or whatever. And the realtor on the other side was like, yeah, no problem at all. And so my realtor was like, okay, good. Just sign this piece of paper that says you can inhabit it and build on it and stuff like that. Like, well, I'm not signing anything.
I put it in writing.
And it's like, yeah, but you can? Oh, absolutely, 100%. Once it's yours, it's yours. Okay, well, just sign this to assure that, because if I buy it and I can't touch it, then we're going to have an issue because now it's just, I still wish I had it, but, and then the guy's like, no, I'm not going to sign the thing.
Gentleman's handshake.
But yeah. And we're like, well, but why wouldn't you, if you're 100% sure you can just, once you buy it, you can do whatever you want. So the guy would never sign it. Damn. And then at some point I was sort of like, well, maybe I'll just get it anyway and screw it. And, and then he sold it off, the whatever and whatever and whatever. So it's the one that got away. But it's a crazy, I'm glad you've been there, Vinny. It's the view is insane when you climb that. And when you're doing your ultra marathon-y stuff, it's a good place to stop, right?
Yeah, you take a break and get some water and whatnot. Yeah.
Where do you get water up there, by the way?
Well, I think we're talking about two different sites, because that was our first defense for the United States. And the Nike missile site is back from that one. You're talking about the one that's further into the Malibu, right?
It's just right at the top. It's
the one that Gary just showed is the Nike missile site on Westridge, which is it's east of Reseda, if you will, up on Mulholland Dirt Road. And that one is now just, you can look out and do all.
Yeah, this place is not that, I don't think.
No,
it's
one. Yeah, it's a different one. I think helicopters actually land at the one that you're talking about, because it's a flat spot. So whenever they're doing water, whenever we have the fires. By the way, I have Howie
Breaking
wrote
news.
Back to me.
Oh, wait, hold on a second. Let me hit cabbage and then tell me what Howie said. wondering how to get funding for that small business. Want to buy yourself a Nike missile radar silo? How about you use Cabbage, man? Help small business owners get flexible funding right away without the headaches of a traditional loan. Apply online, use your phone, no waiting in line, scanning documents or tracking down financial statements. Only pay for the funds you actually use. As, by the way, Cabbage has supported over 100,000 small businesses with $2.9 billion in funding. So I think they know what they're doing. Visit Cabbage, that's KABBAGE.com/Adam, Cabbage.com/Adam. No cost to apply. As an Adam Carolla Show listener, when you qualify for funding, you'll get $100 worth of Visa gift cards. So you get the Cabbage deal, qualify, no muss, no fuss, and get the $100 worth of Visa gift card. Cabbage, KABBAGE.com/Adam. All right. So Howie Mandel answered you, Vinny, in the time we started the show.
Right. I asked him, I said, I'm with Adam, and we would like to know if you know anything about carpentry. And he wrote two responses. The first one was, I'm Jewish. And the second one was, so was Jesus. So we don't know.
But we do know. Yeah. All right. Vinny Tortorich, you can hop on the phone with Vinny, and you can get private phone consultations, details at his website. Podcasts, and I'll give the website in a second, Fitness Confidential. available on iTunes. 4 brand new episodes each week. And the book, Fitness Confidential. It's a life changer, man. The website, where do we go? Vinny Tortorese?
VinnyTortorese.com. Or if you put in Fitness Confidential anywhere on the internet, you will find me. And I'm on Twitter and everywhere else.
Jay Chandrasekhar, if I said that right. I just go fast.
You just leaned into it.
I hope it works out.
Yeah.
He's got a book out. He's going to be it's called Mustache Shenanigans, Making Super Troopers and Other Adventures in Comedy. He'll be in right after this.
I'm John Horn. I'm the host of Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. I'm here with our very first guest, Rainn Wilson.
Hi, John. It looks like I'm the first guest on the Geffen Unclothed, Unscripted. Unscripted. Yeah, let's go with that.
A marriage made in heaven, I guess.
Or Westwood.
Tune in for some of our exciting upcoming guests. David Copperfield, Neil LaBute, Neil Patrick Harris, Josh Gad, Rita Wilson, and many more. Be sure to download new episodes every Wednesday on the Podcast One app and on iTunes. And don't forget to rate, review, and share.
And I'm Rainn Wilson, the first guest.
You are the very first guest.
This was a huge mistake.
Geffen Playhouse Unscripted.
Huge mistake.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hi, Adam. Gina Balls. I have a Bluetooth headset in my helmet, and today while I was riding, I started cracking up during the March Molester Madness, and I crashed the fuck out of my motorcycle, and I hit the ground hard. I mean, really hard. I dented the gas tank, bit my handlebars, and now I have to call into work tomorrow, and I just thought that you should know you're responsible for my motorcycle crash. Keep up the good work. You are funny as fuck. Thank you.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Jay Chandrasekhar. I think I got that.
Nailed it.
Mustache Shenanigans, name of the book. Good to see Jay. Always good to see Jay, you know, from Broken Lizards Club and all the movies and all the everything. I'm just going down the list of things here about when Jay moved here and how he went to Colgate, how he's going to be a brain surgeon or heart surgeon and all that stuff. And at some at the bottom, it says, while the film was in development hell, this is Super Troopers, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And Super Troopers is one of those movies that probably cost what and grossed what?
It was made for $1.2 million, and it profited Fox roughly $80 to $90
million. Yeah, that is a real lightning-in-a-bottle kind of situation. It says, Jay was asked to edit Mitch Hedberg's, and then it says Los Enchiladas. That's a comedy special?
I was living in New York.
I love Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah, he was amazing. I was living in New York in his, he and I had the same manager, Dave Miner. And Dave called me and said, Mitch Hedberg has a movie, but it's 2.5 hours long and they're trying to get it ready for Sundance. And can you just sit with him and can you edit the film with him? And I'm an editor. I've edited 8 movies. And so I said, sure. So he came over and we sat in a room and we started cutting his movie, and he, even in a dead dark room, he wore yellow sunglasses and he was the same as he was on stage in terms of rhythm. He had a very, you know, deliberate and weird little rhythm to his jokes. He'd get up every, I'd say 15 minutes and come back reeking of grass.
Mm-hmm.
And it was literally every 15 minutes. So I was like, hey, buddy, you know, you could just smoke right in here and we'll get a lot more done. And so that's what we did. We'd sat in this dark room and smoked grass and cut his movie.
And the movie is?
Los Enchiladas. It's about him working at a Mexican restaurant in the Minneapolis suburbs. And basically, he's him. But, I mean, you know, Dave Attell is in the movie and Marin's in the movie. Barry, Todd Barry's in the movie. And so he basically played like a worker who worked behind the counter, and they do stuff like they'd go in the freezer and they'd smoke grass in the freezer. And so I'd be watching these scenes with him, and his actual girlfriend was in the movie too, and they'd be in a scene together and they'd be smoking a joint. And I'm like, "Hey, is that real grass?" And he'd go, "Yeah, yeah, man." And so he'd be doing the lines, right? And then he'd do take two, smoking a new joint. And slowly the lines would just get quieter and slower. And by take four, they're kind of looking at each other. Is it your line? Is it mine? Like, right. They're being recorded, right? By take six, the two of them were just literally standing there looking at each other and smoking. And I was like, "How'd you get anything done?" He goes, "Man, it was hard. It's hard."
It is. I've always said this, but I had it, and it happened once when we were talking about, remember when David Arquette used to be nuts?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, back in the old days.
Well, he's not known for, like, being nutty
he's
anymore,
eccentric.
But he
he's
was, like,
yeah,
really,
yeah, yeah.
really
yes.
nuts. But yes. I just had the same question about, like, Andy Dick and stuff like that. Like, how is it that you can be so high and so out of your mind on everything and so nuts and so everything, and you still show up at, like, the MTV Awards, go out, hit your mark, and read the teleprompter? Like, how do you... It's amazing what we can do jacked out of our brains and actually, like, make a living. Like, there's people that are insane in this. But, you know, when Andy Dick was at the height of his drug-addled insanity, he was still hammering checks for him being on a sitcom every week. Like, you just think, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you just think, like, how does he
somehow,
do it? Like,
yeah.
how does Mitch Hedberg, like, get it and find his way to the club, do the bit, you know, do
Andy
an hour
Goffin.
Set?
Andy Goffin was the
original. A lot of these guys.
Andy Dick, I was coming out of my kids' schools, like a meeting at night. And so I'm driving out of the school at about 10:15 in the evening. And I'm trying to get up the, you know, out of the basement parking structure. And I pull up to the sidewalk, and a guy pulls up and stands there with a shopping cart, and it's Andy Dick, who I've never met, right? And he looks at me, and he's kind of making these sort of sexual faces at me. And then he comes around to try to get in my car, and I roll the window down. I'm like, "Andy, no." And he goes, "Whoa." Like, he was shocked that I recognized him. And then he just kind of, like, twirled away and got the cart and just pushed it off.
Doesn't sound like Andy Dick.
Wow.
But the next morning he was on set somewhere.
That's right.
And he was regurgitating lines. And that's the weird. So he didn't recognize you.
I don't think he did. I think he was looking to jump in a dude's car and see what happened.
All the dice.
Just another Tuesday.
Hey, can I say this too? While we're being crazy and hammering a paycheck, getting high out of your mind and, like, sleeping outside and stuff, you don't get stabbed nearly as much as you think you would. You know what I mean? Like, well, is everyone thinks, oh, if you get out of your mind on drugs and you jump into some dude's car, you're going to end up in a shallow grave somewhere in the desert, right? Or whatever it is. But evidently you can do a lot of that before you get your first stabbing.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times has Andy Dick been out of his mind and done something that your mom would tell you if you'd done once, you'll end up missing
That's
a limb,
really
and he just does it. I mean, the reality is, I don't know. It's like, it's my theory. What do you think, Jay? What in terms of, like, the hitchhiker versus the person that picks up the hitchhiker? Who's more potentially dangerous?
I think the person who picks up the hitchhiker is the one who's in more trouble.
Mm.
I mean, the hitchhiker, they're used to, like, close quarters fighting, you know.
Yeah.
They're used to making ugly deals.
Has there ever been a scene in a movie that involved a hitchhiker that turned out just fine?
Oh, wow.
No. The jerk? I think they went about 5 feet.
Yeah, the jerk. You're right.
To the end of this fence?
That's
maybe that's it.
That's
right.
That's the best example.
Even in Showgirls, she ended up duking it out with the dude.
That's right.
She was a little spark plug.
Yeah, Nomi Malone.
Nomi, yeah. She got picked up by some dude. By the way, when you're 22 and hot and a dude picked and you're wearing spandex and a dude picks you up, don't be surprised if his hand slides across onto your thigh at some point.
Be surprised if it doesn't.
Yeah.
Have you seen that movie recently, or you just have a real strong memory of Showgirls?
Both. And what'll happen is I watch it as a mosaic, you know, like I'll turn it on and I'll go, Oh, here's the part where Robert Mondavi or whatever, Davi, the winemaker.
Yeah.
Robert Davi, the club owner's talking about, hey, if a guy gets his dick out and he wants to rub it in your ear,
okay,
you let him do it. And if the guy finishes and blows a load in your salad, you finish. Okay? And you take the tip. And it's like the creepiest scene of all time. And if I know him anywhere near that scene, I'm watching that scene. And if I see the beginning, I'll just watch the part where the guy from Montana like picks her up, like the cowboy guy, just so they get into town, or she meets the black guy who can dance real good, you know.
I can't confirm the salad part, but that was word for word what he said.
Gary, you got to find that scene with Robert.
I'm pulling it off my iCloud right now. Yeah,
it's okay.
2 minutes.
It's okay.
It makes me laugh every time. So Jay, the book. There we go. Mustache Shenanigans is the name of the book. It's available now on Amazon. And if you bookmark us and click through our site, it'll be a win-win. Also, dates, doing live dates.
Yeah, I'm about to go up to Raleigh, to Goodnights in Raleigh-Durham this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Stand-up stories, signings?
Yeah, I mean, I do a lot of... I do stand-up stories. I tell... I also tell about 15, 20 minutes of the stories from the movies. So it's a little bit of both. And then I sign books.
That'll be coming up this Thursday. And then Arlington Cinema and Draft House, that's coming up in Virginia, Arlington. There you go. Oh, I got something here. All right. Gary wants to know about Super Troopers 2.
Yeah. I'll tell you about that.
Tell me about that.
The film is, we've cut the film, and my friends in the band, the Eagles of Death Metal, are doing the score right now.
Yeah, we just saw the documentary on that.
I haven't seen that yet. Is it brutal? Is it hard to watch?
Not surprisingly, no, for some reason. But
there's emotional parts, but it's really about the love between those two guys. There's a real bromance going on in that movie.
Yeah.
Josh and Jesse, is it?
Yeah,
it's Jesse. Right?
Yeah, and everything, I don't know, I think it's like any documentary, just... It feels like a documentary, feels good, like to know information that you didn't have before, you know, and oh my God, and oh wow, and leading up into it, and you know, because you get the little snippets on the news and stuff like that. So, yes, good documentary.
Yeah.
So, watch it.
I will.
And then when you run into Jesse, you got to go, you watched it. Right.
Right. I just have a hard time watching those. I didn't watch the 9/11 movie, and I didn't watch Boston Strong or whatever that was.
Yeah.
And
no, I'm with you completely. I woke up this morning and it's like, hey, this guy's on Facebook and he shoots this old man, and I'm like, I want nothing to do with this. And also, like, when people go, well, aren't you curious? I'm like, I'm imagining it's an old guy getting shot. Is not something where you go, like, when someone, like, if someone goes, they found a new creature in the sea that had been undiscovered. And then someone goes, well, what's it look like? Well, it looks a little like a manatee, but it's not, but it's more like an alligator or something. I go, I'm in.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see what this thing looks like. Yeah. Then I'll be disappointed and pissed off at how it was described and built up to me, but I will want to see it. But if it's, say, hey, this guy gets a compound fracture after he falls off the balance beam or whatever, like, I'm like, nope, I got it. Unfortunately, I just pictured it.
But I will watch, like, they recently had a thing where an alligator grabs an elephant's trunk.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'll watch those kind of things.
Yeah.
Animals fighting in the wild.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought it was like gay code or something. Like, God, you and Andy Dick or something. No. So that's a bench seat.
A bear and a silver fox are fighting. I'm not going to say who wins, but...
All right. So Super Troopers 2... shot.
Yeah, and so Fox is picking a release date, and we'll know. It'll be sometime in the next 6 months, I imagine.
Is it? And it's cut? It's done?
It's done.
It's all done?
We've tested it.
Oh, really?
We've shown it to about 500 people.
It's you know, even though everyone makes fun of testing for, like, sitcoms and stuff like that, when you're making a movie, it's good to show people the movie because they'll tell you, this didn't make sense to me. And you'll go, oh, that's right. We cut out the whole setup to this part.
Right.
And we forgot that we cut it because it happened so slowly that we cut it out.
Right.
So in your mind, you have the setup or you know who this guy is or what's going on or what that reference was.
But, I don't get why people give that such a hard time. Before something goes to Broadway, it's in Chicago, it's in San Francisco.
Well,
they're doing rewrites.
I'll tell you why. Because some films that don't test well still do really well.
Mm.
And so what happens is if your film doesn't test well, the studio then loses all confidence, and then they stop supporting it, and then the film just dies.
Oy.
And so, you know, like Spielberg doesn't test because he doesn't have to test. But if you tested all his films, some of them wouldn't do as well as the others.
Right.
I mean, that's the reason why people don't want to test.
Truth, yeah.
How'd the testing go?
Incredibly well.
I knew it because you brought it up.
Well, of course. I mean, yeah. Of course I brought it up. I mean, it's like one of those things. And now the studio's like, oh, this is going to be good. So
right. It's, good, so they'll get behind it.
You know, look, that film was like, to some degree, it's been a while, right? It's been a while. So you could, I think, and people had this sort of emotional attachment to it because they watched it a bunch of times with their friends. And so if we made a bad one, it would be just like doubly embarrassing, right?
Yeah.
And so far, that hasn't been the response.
No, it's true. Like when you do, you know, Blues Brothers 2000, it's doubly bad because
it was just on TV.
The first one is so iconic and so good, or Jaws 2 or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It's not just a bad movie. It's a bad.
You've gone so far from like.
It's a turducken of bad movies.
Yep.
Oh, here's backstage at the strip joint. Here's the famous speech.
You need more pink? Oh, thanks, Heather. Yeah.
Have you ever done a lap dance before?
No.
You gotta talk them into it, hey? $50 a pop, you take them in the back. Touch and go. They touch, they go. You can touch them, they cannot touch you.
Oh, that's good.
Now, if they come, it's okay. If they take it out, come all over you, call a bouncer. Unless he gives you a big tip. If he gives you a big tip, it's okay.
It's okay.
You got that?
Okay.
And you, where the fuck were you last night?
I was having my period, Al. You don't want me to get blood all over the place. Do you?
You're getting real tired of your shit, kid. Mm-hmm. If you want to last longer than a week, you give me a blowjob.
I hear it's
first I get you used to the money, then I make you swallow.
I heard the campus of Google's exactly the same.
Can we watch this whole movie?
It's so good.
Where is HR? Where's his office?
She gave the most heartfelt speech introduction before this movie when I saw it at an open, you know, Cinespia. And she really still loves this movie.
Elizabeth Berkley.
Elizabeth Berkley.
Did you know there was a sequel?
What?
Oh, yeah.
Show Women.
Blues Brothers.
Showgirls 2, Pennies from Heaven.
Because that's Penny.
Was she in it as well?
Got some signed watching to do this evening. Yeah. Jeez. Right. Yeah. All right. No one we've heard of in
Dewey
it.
Weber.
All right. Movie's coming out. Movie's cut. Movie's tested. And we're looking for just a date.
Release date.
And some of that is based on, like, we want to do around the holidays, or you want to do around when other.
I don't really know. I mean, they have so many movies to figure out where we slot in, and, you know, we don't want to go against Iron Man 8 or whatever the hell that is. Or,
right.
You know, you want to try to put it in the right spot.
I was just at the theater last night, and we all went to go see Hate 8, Fast 8,
Revenge
8, and 8, and whatever. And every single trailer. First off, all the trailers are exactly the same movie now. It's all about sound and smash cuts and whatever. But all the, whether it's The Mummy or whether it's something, or the new Transformers or whatever, they're all the same. They're the same trailer.
There's a lot of.
Is not.
They've gotten very.
They're just.
Streamlined.
Yeah. I don't know exactly what it is, but they're all like the same movie.
Hmm?
They all feel. It doesn't matter if they took place in Persia 2,000 years ago or takes place in the future.
2,000 years from now.
It's all the same. It feels like the same movie.
It does. It's like this. I mean, I don't mean to harp on it, right? But this, like, the corporations bought movie companies as to have a fun little media piece. And then, you know, then these Iron Man movies made $400 to $800 million. And they're like, oh, we can make some real money on these things. And then they turn them all into the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they want these films to work in China and India and all these other countries. And so they're only making movies that can make that much money. And they're that big and with that many effects. And they all look the same now.
Well, it's kind of interesting. And I guess it's like in a way, like a franchise, like Kentucky Fried Chicken or McDonald's. Like, hey, it's about consistency.
Yep, you know what you're going to get every location.
And you start looking, and I, you know, we have 325 million people in this country, and India and China have billions. Yeah, yeah. So, and everyone's got money and put the fannies in the seats. And I think they're kind of looking beyond our shores for this stuff. I agree with you.
It does feel like, I mean, the Fast 8 or whatever that was, the Fate, that is the biggest opening movie in the world ever.
Really?
Yeah.
It's, I believe it. I got, $60 of my money, but I couldn't believe how expensive it was. But
any good?
Yeah, I was like, I had it in the middle. I had a long lunch with Chris Morgan, the guy who wrote it, and it made me not want to say anything negative about it. But I put it in the middle of the pack.
That's generous.
All right. It was, you know, it's like, it's become...
It's all about the action, and it's Brian reviewed them as superhero movies, which they are, and it's all about the action. They have just given up on the story. I mean, a large part of the story hinges on the story from the last movie.
It's become aware of itself, and then it's just sort of giving everybody what they want, which is just more of it.
Yeah, and you have invincible people doing impossible things. It's a superhero movie for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, but there was a time when it lived in some reality.
Yes, it was about
and even though the stuff was sort of fantastical, it still lived in some place that had gravity.
Mm-hmm. But not
so much anymore.
Now that there's eight of them, is it kind of funny, winky, like they're in on the joke or no?
It's back to Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's like, it's not good fried chicken. It's just their fried
consistent
chicken. And you're craving that. You know, it's like their coleslaw's bad, but it's theirs. Yep. And you crave it. And it, and a weird way, you sold, it's bigger than what mama's making in the kitchen.
They could throw a story in there too, though. That wouldn't kill them.
I agree. I'll tell that to Chris next time we speak. Yeah, I agree that you can do both. And I just wonder if I do think the more you test things, like I've done stuff where you test things, and three times in the course of this project, somebody said,
three times, fool.
Yeah, you said, you're my stepson. If you were my real, you know, if you were my real son, I would have this, that, and the other. But you're my stepson. That's different. And then at some point, they get a lot of feedback. Like, that was confusing. Was it his son? Was it his stepson? And it's like, and then they'll go tell you, go change it. And you'll go like, well, it's really not confusing if you're paying attention.
Right.
It was said out loud. So story can confuse people sometimes. And a note of I was confused is a big fat thumbs down. And I think they're trying to remove
story from the movie business.
Take that confusing line of dialogue, replace it with an explosion. There's no confusion.
The problem is that it worked better than it's ever worked in the history of any movie. So
right. So it's the number one movie of all time?
Of opening.
Yeah. Well, and because that's a worldwide thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why they're always smart, because they're like, oh, we're in Cuba, and then we're in England, and then we're in, you know, New York, and so they're always, oh, that's all of us, everybody. Yep. All right. What did make opening weekend, Gary? Or maybe Jay knows.
I don't know.
500 million worldwide? Some absurd number.
It's absurd. It's insane. All right. Anyway, the wife loved it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and Lynette loved it. The kids had a good time. 5:32, Gary's told, and so now I'm like, all right, we got seven more to
watch. They'd be stupid to stop anytime soon.
No, not them. I'm talking about Lynette. She got to go back.
Got to go backwards.
She got to go backwards.
Star Wars franchise.
Yeah.
This is the first one she saw?
First one.
Oh, she got to see the prequels.
Which would you say out of all eight is the one to see if you've never seen one?
I think the best one to me was 4. Is that where they went? Where they stole the safe in South America?
Did they drift in that one?
Tokyo Drift might be 3.
I think that's 5. Oh, 4 is the one where at the very beginning they're stealing gas.
on the tunnels.
Yeah, that one's called Fast and Furious.
Right,
six or seven is where they really sort of hit that formula. Like, oh, this is what we are. This is what we're going for.
They finally figured it out.
I think so.
Fast Five.
I truly think so.
Fast Five is. I think that's my favorite.
That's a very good one.
And it has got some story and some twists and some stuff in there. All right. Should we do a little news?
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Well, Jeff Varner, the Survivor contestant who was unanimously voted off the show last week after unexpectedly revealing that another competitor is transgendered, lost his real-life job as a result of this episode. I'll show you the clip now, and then I'll fill you in.
Why haven't you told anyone you're transgender?
I just asked random people that all the time, by the way, to see if they say anything.
But that's personal.
It has nothing to do with the game.
You didn't have to do that.
That is so wrong for you to bring that up.
I'm not using that as anything negative.
That has nothing to do with the game. That's personal.
I'm not knocking him.
That's not deception. You just...
Yeah, that was just
so
to reveal
dirty,
to
Jeff.
I argue
for the rights of transgender people every day in the state of North Carolina. I would never say or do anything to hurt anyone here. Jeff, I'm arguing for my life. I feel like I've got to throw everything at the wall.
Outing somebody is...
I'm not outing him.
You are... Just outing him. Nobody has the right to out anybody.
Who's the guy who's yelling at him?
I don't know. I haven't seen this particular season.
He may have just been a guy who was on the island and still thinks World War II is going strong.
Okay, bless you for that,
every
Jeff.
Third episode of Gilligan's Island. This is a Japanese general. He's still here. He thinks the war's still going on. I guess those jokes have sort of aged out, but there is a good 25-year window
good
where
run.
They could have they had a pretty good run from, like, I don't know, 45 and a half to maybe 71, 72.
Oh, until Vietnam really kind of.
Yeah. That's about 75. Yeah, it's a good run.
Well, so this Varner guy, Jeff Varner, he was a real estate agent in Greensboro, North Carolina, working for a company that didn't like what they saw on this episode, which was filmed last year, by the way, only aired last Wednesday. The company said Varner was, quote, in the middle of a news story that we don't want anything to do with.
Maybe they didn't like the fact that he was trying to sell commercial real estate and never stopped being an advocate for transgendered people. Yeah. Like that, as a boss, I'd be like, hey, man, could I cut into your transgendered advocacy and have you sell the apartment every once in a while? Like,
especially North Carolina. That's a hot button
issue. Please stop coaching up, especially if some religious clients here. Yeah. Please stop preaching.
He did say he's been swimming in guilt ever since, but now he's got a little extra time to do that.
So, what did he mean by being an advocate for this community every single day back
home? He didn't clarify.
Because he said it like he was out, you know, barking on the corner
every single
or something.
Day. What a boast.
I have no idea. It's possible that he's an out gay man. Is he?
Ooh, he did.
Easy. Now you're going to lose your job.
Yeah, I'm going to lose my job. He did strike me as gay. I did have the gay thing. Like, yeah, I went like, oh, he seems, I think he might be gay. Yeah. I don't know.
It's possible.
It's hard to maintain.
There it is.
I got to tell you, I have pretty good gaydar, but if we're going to leave you on an island with no razor and no grooming products for 6 months, my gaydar is going to shut down. Like, I cannot. I got to see a pushed cuticle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Something plucked.
It's like you're using the gaydar at the North Pole. It's going to spin around.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of this.
So he's gay.
He's gay and has a boyfriend. And this was, you know, right around the time that North Carolina was very much.
The bathroom,
this was a year
gender
ago,
laws.
The bathroom thing was going on.
Okay.
So that could have been why he said that.
Now,
that
is he allowed to sue for wrongful termination? I mean, I don't feel like you're allowed to get fired for something you did on a reality show if they give you that as a reason.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If he has his face on a bus bench with their name on it, they don't want anything to do with him because he's getting bad press.
Yeah.
This week on Reasonable Doubt.
Yeah, I'm going to ask Mark. Because also, you know, it is a show where you're just supposed, you know, people routinely lie to one another and do all, you know, eat maggots and like, it's like do anything you can.
Mm.
And I guess that was part of what he was doing.
And Gina mentioned that he was a realtor, which means I'm wondering if it wasn't a full-time salary job. It was more of a
commission based.
Yeah. What do they call it? Like a consult, not consult, you know what I mean? Like a
Mm-hmm.
So it's our part time.
Commission based didn't do it for you?
No, I guess not.
I'm missing the world.
So there you go.
All right.
Yeah. Well, still smarting from
How does she know? He knew the guy was transgender.
Yeah, he must have opened up to him during some sort of alliance.
Yeah, that's what I've read, is that they had privately
chit-chatted. They made a sweet alliance.
But, they made a big deal of aired it. Like, they could have kept this one.
Oh, no, this is a ratings juggernaut.
Yeah, so they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, still smarting from the PR.
I'm going to try that if I ever go on Survivor. I'll just point at any random guy or gal and go, look, we know your secret. You're transgendered. And
why are you not being honest with us?
Then they'll start arguing, and I'll go, stop living in denial. And I'll go, now who can you trust? Because they won't even come to grips with the fact that they're transgender.
It's obvious to everyone.
Yeah. I think it's more insulting if I do it to a woman.
Yeah, it's
more insulting. Yeah.
Well, still smarting from the PR nightmare of having the video go viral of a passenger being dragged from one of their planes, United Airlines has changed its policy and will no longer give staff last-minute seats on full flights. Now, crew members will have to get a seat at least an hour before departure, check in, make sure they're all ready to go. A United spokesman said that the change was done to make sure that an incident like the recent episode never occurs again. Oh, and I also heard on the way here that I believe it's Delta is now allowed to offer as much as $10,000 for a seat.
But that's just a brilliant PR move, right?
Well, I didn't think
as
that was
much
legal.
As means.
I didn't know you could go as high as $10,000.
First off, there was a rule in the law, like it could only go to a certain height, a certain number. Yeah, which it seems really counterintuitive. Seems like any business should be able to do whatever they want.
I was going to say, don't you make your own policy? Isn't the 1350?
No, but everything that has to do with airlines, a lot of that stuff is regulated, taking place inside the airport, so on and so forth. Right. So, like, I guess they put a ceiling on it. I don't know why, but here's what I can guarantee you. Lots of ass wipes trying to figure out ways to get money from Delta and or other airlines now to remove themselves from planes. Like, there's going to be people booking themselves on flights to Orlando that don't know anyone in Orlando and have no business in Orlando, right?
That'd be a nice dice roll, yeah.
Yes.
There's another, it might be American, I don't know off the top of my head, one of the other major airlines says their rule now is that once everyone's on the plane, there is no offering people money to get out. Once you're on, and the people who didn't get on, that's their tough luck.
Well, it should be. I mean, all that stuff's got to take place at the gate. Once you get on, it's hard to unring that bell.
Although, I have to say, I've done it once, and it was the most romantic, exciting thing I've ever done in my life.
Giving up your seat?
Yes. I was in New York visiting my boyfriend. I was in college, and I didn't want to leave him, and I was so sad, and I was crying at the gate, and I'm crying in my seat, and this little old lady asked if I'm okay, and then they start saying, like, the plane's overbooked, you know, does anyone want to give up their seat? And I was like, I do! And they gave me like $200 and I ran off the plane and my boyfriend was still there and I stayed there another 2 days, missed a final. But it was worth it. It was really fun.
Wow. That's kind of romantic.
It was cool. Never done it since though.
Would you have let yourself get dragged off like that, Dr. Dow?
No, I wouldn't need to. I would bound off myself.
No, but I mean, if
just
you
in
didn't
general,
want
no,
to get off?
I'm not. No. Why would you do that?
I guess because you're like, why are you picking me? Like, what did I do? There are all these people here. I'm already in the seat. What are you doing?
But would you go limp?
I would never go limp. I think if they were physically going to carry me off, I'd just get up and go, okay, fine, you win. Yeah. I played chicken with you and I lost. Right. Fine.
Yeah, that's what you have to do eventually.
And technically, just so we're clear, even though it happened on a United plane, United flight attendants weren't the ones that dragged the guy off. The Chicago police force at the airport did it.
Yeah, I agree. And in a weird way, I mean, it's just we have a society that we don't even I remember once I was on the cover of like Asian Weekly magazine or something. It's like the worst round-eyed person on the planet because
it was the worst of the year. But yeah. You won the yearly award.
Dave Damashek made a joke on my morning show that was like a bit. He did like a bit, like a Ching Chong bit. And I never wrote it. I never heard it. I never did anything about it. But
the Asian Excellence Award today aired, and Dave's like, let's hear a clip. And it was just someone going, someone's just recording someone saying Ching Chong, Ching Chong.
Right.
It was a stupid joke. Viewed as insensitive.
I was more angry that it wasn't funny rather than the insensitivity part. But I remember, like, people are like, all right, you need to apologize, and you need to this, and you need to be on the cover of this magazine and everything else. And I'm like, at a certain point, I go, you do understand I didn't do any of this. Like, I was, yes, it was, it's called The Adam Carolla Show, and Dave wrote a bit, and I don't vet every, like, people go, I got a funny sports bit, or I got a funny whatever. It's like, yeah, go ahead. I don't got time to listen to everyone's pre-recorded whatever. And I kind of feel that way with United, like, at a certain point, yeah, bad, it was a bad idea. But obviously, three of the people just got up and left and took their voucher, and the fourth guy didn't, and he went limp, and, you know, they called the security, and if, obviously, we're not talking about it if that guy doesn't go limp and refuse to get off the plane. And this wasn't somebody who was employed by United getting him off the plane. This is just the popo and the police. Like, this is them. That's their plane, but it's them with the hands on
City of Chicago
on the guy. Right, like, I know United can never stop apologizing, but a little bit needs to swing a little direction of the dude who picked the dude out of the plane or dragged him down the down the thing.
Correct.
He was not an employee of United.
No, he was not.
So I'm saying, like, that's a fair bit of shit United's getting for a non.
They're getting 100%. They should be getting about 85%.
Yeah, I'm saying they got the ball rolling by saying, hey, we got to clear this stupid policy, got the ball rolling. But all the film that we're all incensed about is not a United employee.
Asian Week is Googling your image to put on a new issue of Asian Week. They're like, we're going to put it back on.
Yeah, we never sold more units. We tested it. We had Andy Dick and that transvestite guy from Survivor, but the most units moved were with Carolla, so we're going to get them.
They have a Where Are They Now edition. It's
Carolla. I wonder, I may have joined the ranks of Sarah Silverman and other comedic greats who got on that. I still wasn't unclear what that magazine was, but I was delighted by it.
You have a framed copy?
I have a copy. I did get a copy.
Please frame it.
Ching chong, ching chong.
It's the stupidest bit.
I love it.
It's a stupid
bit. I love it.
It's Asian Week, and it's the voice of Asian America, and her time is now.
I'm trying to see who that's
about. Some stories, you know, and then there's me.
It's horrifying.
It's great, but it's like, imagine if somebody, like, there's some Asian guy and he's just reading his Asian Weekly and he's had a couple of pops and he's really pissed off and he decides to take the law into his own
not
hands,
on my watch.
And his grandfather still has the bayonet from World War II. He's the guy who thought the war was still going on, and he runs it through the Ace Man. I mean, they got blood on their hands at that point because I didn't do anything. I just
Dan
sat
smugly preening.
That's right. I just sat here while he did his bit. All right.
Well, the president of Penn State University recently threatened to get rid of fraternities on campus altogether because the party culture has gotten out of control.
Ooh, I wonder if I could spin that into a positive, like if I was ever trying to land a job with some sort of Asian-owned corporation, and I don't have the exact, I don't carry around the magazine with me, but I was featured in an article in Asian Weekly, so I think it's fair to say I'm known in the community. Yeah.
And they'd be like, oh, we know.
Did I mention I'm a big fan of Hyundai?
All right, sorry. Where were we?
Just this month, 9 of the university's 82 frats were busted during Parents Week for boozing, breaking all kinds of rules, ranging from underage drinking to throwing parties without a license. Even some of the parents were visibly drunk with the kids. So the president has decided to crack down or at least launch a campaign to get things under control.
Drunk with the parents means they were being supervised.
Yeah.
Come on.
Very good point.
And by the way, I don't like the way this sounds, throwing a party without a license.
Yeah, these are very minor offenses as someone who is familiar with fraternity offenses.
I'm saying it sounds very Orwellian to me, like you've got to pull a permit.
Oh, yeah, big brother.
Having fun without a permit.
Yeah.
That's not double plus good.
Throwing a party without a license feels just a little un-American.
Jay was in a fraternity.
I was, and one of the fraternities got in trouble, and so they created this licensing system where we had to issue the, we were going to have a party this night, and so they'd send two older women from the town to sit at a table, but there was no difference in behavior.
You had to register your
party. And then we registered, and then the next year they were just gone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So still all the same debauchery would go down.
Yeah, and these two women would just sit there. And they're like, oh, gee, this is a pretty good party. They're from upstate New York.
I always think, like, there was, you always see him in the movies and stuff like that. But you know when they have like supervised visits, like where the court appointed so and so has to stand there with the dad so he can be with his son or whatever.
Visitation.
Yeah, this could be the weirdest gig on the planet. Like standing there while they're having a catch or like whatever's going on with the father and the son or the mom and the daughter.
Trying
like,
to be invisible.
But you're there certain, to prevent some sort of like abuse, right? Isn't that the
issue? I guess, but they're there to visit each other. So they might want to go watch a sporting event on TV or something.
Gotta get a third ticket.
I guess the guy starts like reaching for a cigarette and you just give him a look like,
and he's
like, and he, like, what do you
do? You have to stay within eye shot? Like, there'd be like, stay, sure. You have to see them, obviously.
Have to be in the room, sure.
I guess, or like, don't shut the door. You can be over here. I'm going to come over here and read Asian Weekly and you guys watch a sporting event in the den. Like,
it's going to be. What's Carell up to today?
Gotta be weird, right?
Remember a million years ago we had Tatum O'Neill's son on and he told us about how they did that?
Yes.
Yeah, he said it was super weird, I think.
That's right. He was explaining just how weird. Well, now you add it because you have a celebrity factor.
Sure.
And so you have Ryan O'Neill, Tatum O'Neill, and McEnroe or whoever she was married to. And now it's kind of weird because that's John McEnroe like sitting there and like you're sitting over here and. I'd love to just know how that training works and what there's got to be training.
Yeah,
there's got to be parameters.
It sounds like a good Costner movie, you know?
Oh, yeah.
The supervisor.
Yeah, the supervisor.
And
falls in love with the person he's supervising.
Yeah.
All right, I'll tell you about True Car. You want to buy new? You want to buy used? Well, not used, previously owned. It is True Car. Over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles from over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. So, you want a vehicle. You want a new vehicle. You want a previously owned vehicle. You go to True Car, and you get the upfront pricing. You get the info. You get discounts off of list price. It's a better buying experience. See what others paid for the car you want. Get a fair price. Then connect with your local certified dealer and enjoy a quick, easy buying experience. Go online. Find the car you want. Lock it in. Get your certificate. Go to your dealer, and the car will be waiting there. There's no bait and switch here. So when you're ready to buy new, used, whatever you are, you go with True Car. True Car. Once again, 700,000 pre-owned vehicles, 13,000 certified dealers. True Car. All right, one more, baby girl.
All right. Well, environmental experts say 1 billion plastic water bottles reach the ocean each year. This, of course, is a problem. But it's a problem that could be solved by a new invention, the edible water bubble. This is pretty cool. A British company called Skipping Rocks Lab has created a biodegradable edible membrane made of seaweed extract that can be filled with water. They call it the uho. Supposedly, you can tear open the uho and pour the water right in your mouth or just pop the whole thing in your mouth and it'll burn. And you can eat the whole thing and it's full of water. And it's the membrane, which is a terrible word to describe it. The coating is seaweed, so it's completely biodegradable.
Yeah, so if you're like at a party and you see a chick do like three of those at a time, you go, hey, let's go sidle up to her and get her number.
Can they make it in bottle shape or does it have to be in those little things?
So far, they're just spherical, but you can add color and apparently flavor.
Yeah.
Okay. Like vitamin water.
Where
are you going to 50 cents? You need a bottle of water, though. Where are you going to get that part?
You just get a few of these little globules.
Yeah, you just
That's preposterous.
Why are you making this difficult? Just get a little box of bubbles, little water bubbles.
Okay.
They just look like giant raindrops.
like giant boba tea bubbles.
Aren't they
wet?
I mean, where are you going to put them? I mean, the whole thing's, I like it, but I mean, come on.
You got a case, you know what I mean? Because they're they're easily penetrated.
I just want a bottle of water.
Yeah, you got kids and everything, right?
Yeah.
How many goddamn ways to transport liquid like containers do you have in your house? Because my house is overrun with water bottles, sports bottles, travel mugs, like the travel bottles, the morning commute mug. Like every show you do, every time you do a show, they just give you a canteen at the end of the show with says Ellen on it or whatever. And then your house is just, we have whole drawers just filled. Yeah. And you can't really throw it out because they're like spun aluminum and they have like a nice top and there's a cork with like a little piece of chain on it. And it's kind of cool. It's like, it's got the Ellen and they anodized Ellen right in the side of it and stuff, but you will never use it. And far as I can tell, we're moving much less than we used to move. I personally am. When I was growing up, zero air conditioning and 100% movement. Like, I was thinking about this the other day. We would grow up in North Hollywood. We would take a bus to Santa Monica to go to the beach. Just me, yeah, and Ray and my friends, you know, just it'd take like five buses, like 9 days later, we'd be at the beach. The seasons would have changed and it was colder at that point, but we'd get there. And you get to the beach, and then once we got to the beach, we had no money and we had no water bottles or sodas or anything. We just body surf for like 6 hours, run around, just all you just lay out in the sun, run back and forth the ocean. And then at some point after a day at the beach, you'd get up to go walking back to get to the bus stop and you'd pass a drinking fountain and you'd get a couple of hits off it. And then it was on to the bus with no air conditioning and the seven transfers to get back to the sweaty San Fernando Valley. Never a bottle of water. Nothing transportable. No canteens, no anything. How did we
survive?
Do all of that for so long, and now everyone's just sitting in an air-conditioned office building, and they got a car that parks itself, and it's got air blowing, and the seats are cooled, and everything else. Do we need this much hydration?
We've got air blowing right now, and you got a water bottle in front of you.
I know.
You're part of the problem.
I got one, too.
I know. It's sad, but do we... I have this theory. If you could break down, like, you know, in the, you know, tech companies will go like click-throughs, you know, to be like, well, it's not how many impressions, it's how many people click through and made a purchase or gave him your information or whatever it is, you know, or there's ways
conversion
to,
rate.
Yeah, ways to gather data. The amount of times per, pick a unit, like 15-minute unit or 1 hour unit that you're awake, that you take a hit off of something, a bottle, something with some flavor in it, a snack, a nut, a mint, a whatever. Just your hand goes to your mouth and there's something on the other end of it, a little water bottle, a coffee, Starbucks, like just whatever.
You're working at Showgirls.
That's right. You want a nice tip, don't you? No, so I got a nice, put jizz in that little ball. All right. Point is this. I feel like I used to go 5 hours in between, like, eating. You know, I'd work construction. You'd show up at 7 o'clock in the morning. You'd get out of the truck. And then you'd just work until noon. And at noon, you'd eat lunch. But in that 5 hours, there was nothing.
Right.
You just stand there and work. Now it's like, where's my water bottle? Where's my thing? I take the dog for a walk. I'm like, where's the water bottle? I get into my car. I'm like, where's the water bottle? It's like, I don't need a water bottle. I'm in an air-conditioned Jag. Like, what? The number of times you go up to your soup cooler with something with some flavor or water or hydration or whatever,
often,
versus when, like, you were a younger person.
Oh, tenfold.
It's insane, yeah, right?
Do you think in 10 years you're going to be on this show talking about how many seaweed balls full of water you have?
I hope so.
I just think it's weird. Like, I don't think my kids, Jay, you tell me, because our kids are like same age, right?
Same age.
I don't think my kids go 10 minutes without grabbing for something or having something. Like, they just get up and go, I want some lemonade. And they go, and then they sit down and they go, I want some Doritos or something. They get up and then the TV's on and whatever. Like, they don't just do the kind of hours at a time. I'm trying to think of, what was that great movie that Carl Reiner directed about the kids?
The Jerk.
Stand By Me, but it was Rob Reiner.
Rob Reiner. Stand By Me. Like that thing where you just go walking on the train tracks for hours and hours, yep, and there was like nobody around and no carts and no kiosks and no Starbucks and like just
the outside
nothing.
World barely existed.
You know, but just... like my kids, like every night, like we're walking to the Starbucks, we're going to get the donut, you know, like it's just like.
Yeah.
I don't know how we can slow that down, but we need to slow it down, right?
Possibly.
We don't need this much. There doesn't need to be 7 billion bottles on the beach.
I don't think it's going to turn him back.
Yeah, maybe
water
you're right.
Bubbles.
All right.
Water bubbles.
Let's bring it home.
Water bubbles. You got bubbles. It. Okay. Stop making fun of the water
bubble. No, I want a water bubble. I'll try. I'll eat that damn thing.
And that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
LifeLock, man. I don't know if you know about this, but a breach of an online tool used for student loan applications may have compromised up to 100,000 taxpayers. Identity thieves use the stolen data to file fake tax returns and get $30 million in fraudulent refunds. Identity theft is America's fastest growing crime. I have LifeLock. Lynette has LifeLock. The kids have LifeLock. Everybody's got LifeLock because if you have a social security number, you need LifeLock. If you have a problem, they're U.S.-based. They don't outsource. They're right over here, so they'll take care of you. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock is the best protection available. And memberships start at just $9.99 a month. So you do all the buying you do online. You save all the money, and you protect your identity. Just $9.99 a month. And you get started. It is LifeLock, Dawson.
Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership. Visit LifeLock.com to save 10% now.
All right. Corolla Drinks, say hi to Lynette. She's going to be down at the Hooters in Costa Mesa over there selling a little Mangrian, some Endless Rant. They're having a bikini competition. She's doing some judging.
All right.
That'll be coming up this Thursday, so go say hi to her. No Safe Spaces. Me and Dennis Prager over there at Cal State Northridge. I don't know if it's still number one. Is it still number one on the iTunes comedy charts there?
I believe so.
Oh, good for me. Look at me. I don't like to talk about myself. Jay's book, Mustache Shenanigans. Making Super Troopers and Other Adventures in Comedy. It's available now on Amazon. And you should go to Jay's website. And I'm going to spell it out. Oh, you spell out your last name, Jay. It'll be easier.
J-Chandrasekhar, which is C-H-A-N-D-R-A-S-E-K-H-A-R.
Looks beautiful in the back of a hockey sweater. All right. So, till next time, it's Adam for Jay and Gene and Bald Sam. Mahalo.
Hey, this is going to be good.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on the Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Adam Carolla on Twitter at, you guessed it, Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail with your questions and comments at 888-634-1744. Stay safe on your motorcycles and check out Gina Grad weekday mornings 5 to 8 at 100.3 The Sound in LA. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, including the Corolla Cruise this November. Go to adamcarolla.com.